After first taking aim at electricity companies over high power bills, the Prime Minister is now targeting the fuel retailers, threatening to wave a big stick unless they give motorists a better deal at the petrol pump. Petrol prices have soared well above $1.60 a litre to their highest levels in 10 years, with predictions they could soon top the $2 mark in some places, due in large part to the rising cost of international crude oil and the falling Australian dollar. The Prime Minister has shifted responsibility to the ACCC, demanding that the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission take action against any price gouging.
And that's their job. That's Rod Sims' job to make sure that all these petrol companies, these fuel companies, do the right thing by customers. He has the powers, he has the resources to investigate them. And I expect them to get on and apply the pressure. That's when I was treasurer. I gave him more powers, actually, to go back behind the pump all the way to how they're setting prices in the boardroom. So I'm expecting some action.
The Prime Minister is facing calls from his own backbench to slash fuel excise and break up the petrol giants through the proposed divestment powers. Well, Rod Sims is chairman of the ACCC. Rod Sims, hello there.
Good morning, Fran.
You're the man with the job. As the Prime Minister said, you're the cop on the beat with all the powers and resources to investigate the petrol companies.
Look, he's right. Oh, sorry, Fran.
No, you go.
We do have a dedicated unit looking at petrol, and we do have the powers that we need and that we've asked for to be able to monitor the market carefully. So the Prime Minister's right.
So fuel prices have hit a 10-year high. Is there evidence that motorists are being ripped off by the petrol giants?
I think, Fran, the key thing to focus on is the effect of international oil prices. 85% of what you pay when you fill up your car is either the price of overseas petrol, that's nearly 50, and the rest is tax. So before you even get to the local service station, 85% of the price is explainable by things that are very hard to do anything with. So that's the key focus area. What consumers can do is shop around. I know it sounds trite, but there is money to be made. Consumers can save themselves real money if they work out when to buy and where to buy, because not all petrol stations charge the same price. And because of this wretched price cycle in the capital cities, which I know annoys people, it also means that if you time when you buy, you can save yourself a lot of money.
Okay, but Rod Sims, what you're saying is that most of the high prices people are paying at the moment, and it's hurting because of the overseas oil price, which means there's nothing you can do. There's no action you can take. Is that right?
Oh, well, no, that's not right, Fran, in the sense that we are actively monitoring the market. We've taken a lot of legal action against the petrol companies because we watch them so carefully. So we took action against shopper dockets, which we alleged a few years ago, whenever they got above a certain level, they increased the underlying price of petrol. So we've dealt with that and I think saved consumers some money. We took action more recently against a company called Informed Sources and BP, Caltex, Coles, Woolworths, 7-Eleven, because they were sharing petrol price information amongst themselves and we forced them to share that with the public. We stopped BP taking over Woolworths last year, and that would have cost consumers a couple of cents.
Mm-hmm.
So we're taking legal action against the petrol companies in different ways pretty well all the time, Fran. So we're monitoring the market carefully, and I think we have saved consumers a lot of money.
Okay, but at the moment, prices are what I think my local, $1.67 a litre, it's hurting. When the PM says he wants action on that, what can you offer him now?
We can offer, firstly, continuing close scrutiny to check there's no illegal behaviour. Secondly, constant advice to consumers about how they can save money. And Fran, just to go back to that point, two-thirds of people buy petrol from exactly the same service station every time they fill up. Now, that you can, in Sydney, for example, just as one example, there's a 10 cents a litre difference between the most expensive service station throughout the year, which happens to be Coles, and many of the independents.
Sure, but not everyone has an independent near them, and Sydney's traffic is, you know, devilish, and it's very difficult to think that you can drive three suburbs to get cheaper petrol.
Oh, well, yeah, look, there's a lot. Those independents are nearly 20% of the market. I would also add Woolworths is a lot consistently cheaper than Coles. So, and just working out when you buy, just adjusting that a little bit can save money, Fran. So,
so all that info is in the ACCC website, is it?
That's right. We advise people when to buy, and there's websites that we don't control, but others do. New South Wales, there's a government one. Some other states there are as well. Other states, there's private ones where you can just look and see when you want to buy petrol. You can see your journey and work out where's the best place to buy petrol, and you seriously will save yourself some money. And that's the best discipline to put on the service station, Fran. I'd be misleading the consumers if I said anything else.
In August, the ACCC said that retailers were charging higher margins, 50% above the 16-year average since the commission started tracking the data. Is that still the case? I know Caltex says it's taken a big hit to its retail earnings because of margins tightening.
Yeah, Fran, there's no question that in our view margins are at least 2 cents higher than they should be in most cities, and probably 4 or 5 cents higher than they should be in Brisbane.
So on that front, the Prime Minister is hinting at some form of regulatory intervention with the threat of, quote, a big stick to force prices down. Is there anything he can do to compel the petrol companies to lower their prices if there's at least that 2 cent margin element?
Yeah, Fran. I mean, you just mentioned a short while ago, Fran, the petrol prices were about $1.60, and here we're talking about 2 cents. Now, I'm not belittling 2 cents. That's a serious saving. I'm just saying when people complain about the prices going up from $1.30 a couple of years ago to $1.60, $1.70, that is driven by, clearly, visibly driven by overseas oil prices and the exchange rate. So the bigger let's just understand the bigger problem is overseas oil prices and the exchange rate. Now, yes, I think margins are a bit too high because the service stations rely on people not shopping around. Rather than any action I think I can recommend to government, I don't think there is anything right at the moment. I'll certainly keep thinking about it, Fran, that I can recommend to government right at the moment that would be cost effective to deal with that. The best advice to those consumers: you can save yourself way more than that couple of cents a litre, or even the 4 to 5 cents a litre in Brisbane, if you time when and where to buy. You'll save way more than that, Fran.
Some on the government backbench have ideas. Craig Kelly is proposing a 10-cent cut in the fuel excise. Barnaby Joyce wants the government to extend its divestiture powers beyond electricity to the fuel sector. Is that even feasible?
Well, look, on the fuel excise, Fran, the key thing to understand with that is it's what pays for the roads. Now, I'm one of those people who thinks there should be a more direct link, that the fuel excise you pay should go into a quarantine fund to spend on roads. I think that would be a great move. But fundamentally, that's the reason why nearly 40% of what you pay in petrol is fuel excise. It's actually there to fund the roads. I want the link to be more direct. In terms of divestment, Fran, it's you've got a whole lot of service stations all over the place. I really don't think divestment is going to deal with the issue. Of course, these are government policy issues, Fran, and they should be argued out by the policymakers. My view is it won't help the petrol market.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 16 minutes to 8. Our guest is the chairman of the ACCC, Rod Sims. Speaking of divestment, the government says as a last resort it will forcibly break up power companies if they don't bring down their prices. This was not a recommendation by the ACCC, but I think under the government's plan, the ACCC would be handed the power to do that. Can the ACCC force divestiture? Have you done this in the past?
No, we haven't, Fran. And look, there was a long-standing debate between myself and my good friend Alan Fells, who recommends that the ACCC have a general divestiture power. My view is that I think that's a stick that would be called on to be used many more times than it would ever make sense to use it. So I argue against Alan. But
could the ABC do it? ACCC do it?
Only if the law has changed. Now, that's what I understand the government is thinking of doing, and that's totally their call, Fran. This is a policy issue. We'll always, as an independent regulator, give our view, but it's totally up to the government to do what they judge is the appropriate thing, and we will then use the powers given to us as appropriate. So it's a government issue. My personal view is that divestment is probably not the best way to deal with energy prices. Fran, as you know, we've got a report out there that suggests, or that I think clearly shows, that there are ways to get electricity prices down by about 25% across the board. Some very difficult actions for governments. I think governments are thinking about our recommendations, and I'd really urge them to implement those.
Okay, and just finally on another issue we were discussing here on the program yesterday, the compulsory airbag, Takata airbag recall. The industry group representing vehicle manufacturers told us yesterday around 1.7 million cars have had their airbags replaced, and there's 1.4 million cars still on the road who need to do that. I think the ACCC figure is slightly less than that, but more than a million. There is a concern, though, that some of these airbags are being replaced with airbags that use the same problem chemical, the ammonium nitrate. The person we spoke to yesterday said, well, that's at least going to keep them safe for another 6 years. Are we going to see another major recall in 6 years?
Oh, no, Fran. We'll have, so two points, if I could. The like-for-like replacements are where there was just no other airbag available to go into the new car apart from one of these defective airbags. But the good news, there's two bits of positive news here. Firstly, it takes at least 6 years for the bags to degrade. And so for 6 years, there is no risk with these Takata airbags. But secondly, all airbags under our recall will be replaced by the end of 2020, including the like-for-like replacement. So if you buy a new car now and it's got a faulty airbag in it, you don't have a problem for 6 years, but it'll be gone by the end of 2020.
Rod Sims, thank you very much.
Thanks, Fran.
Rod Sims is Chair of the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission. You're listening to RM Breakfast. It's 13 minutes to 8.